Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Hi, I'm Father Cedric Pazegna, the host of Live With Passion. I'm so glad that you decided to tune into the program today because I am going to talk about hope. Get your hopes up. Let me share with you this scripture from 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hope. Three things last forever. Faith, hope, and love. I want to talk to you about a living hope. Heard about a man named Mel Fisher. Mel Fisher was a treasure hunter. And he used to explore off the coast of Florida and other places in the world. And he heard about the wreck of a Spanish galleon called the Nuestra Señora de Atocha. And it crashed, it sank in a hurricane in 1622. He had his crew, he had the ship, he invested a lot of money. And each day he would begin the day in a very interesting, very hopeful way. He would tell the crew, today's the day. And, you know, that was pretty good in the beginning. But after about a week or two and a couple weeks turned into a month and they're just out there on the open ocean. And every morning he would come up to them and say, today's the day. And they kind of look at him and say, yeah, we're about to have a mutiny. We've had enough of this because nothing was happening. Well, eventually, as they continued to look, and Mel was a very hopeful person, and he tried to get everybody's hopes up, eventually, on the date of July 20th, 1985, he greeted his crew with, today's the day, and today was the day. They found the wreck of the Nuestra Señora de Atocha, and the treasures, and the silver, and the emeralds, and the jewels was worth over $400 million. You see, he didn't give up because he had hope. And that's what I want for your life. I want you to believe that you have a living hope. We just heard it in the reading that we had from 1 Peter. An inheritance, undefiled, unperishable, imperishable, kept in heaven for you, ready to be revealed to you. Can you imagine the treasures and the glory and the glistening, wonderful hope that we have? So we have what the Bible calls a living hope. And you got to get this. The Bible says that three things last forever: faith, hope, and love. In heaven, it will be hope finally realized, and it will last forever and ever and ever. But I also want to tell you that we have a hope for now. You know, hope colors my life. You know, this whole thing about heaven and how glorious it's going to be. Oh, you know, it's going to be so good. And the great reunion and the banquets and the festivals and the nice healthy body that we're going to have. That's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But what about right now? Well, hope, the living hope that we have, colors my life. What do I mean by that? Well, because of hope, it makes me joyful, gives me purpose. I can endure sufferings. And I can go forward. And it's the same in your life too. Because of hope, you can be strong. But I want you to know that you can have hope even for now. We have the hope of heaven, but I want you to know that you can have hope for now. And I need to tell you, I was not always a real hopeful person. I was what I call cautiously optimistic. I would think, you know, if good things happen to me, all well and good, but I'm not so sure that I need to be hoping for it, because if it doesn't happen, then I don't want to be disappointed if it doesn't. So I was kind of guarded. I was very cautious. And maybe you're kind of like that. Are you a hopeful person? Are you expecting anything good? Are you kind of cautiously optimistic? And then I found out about biblical hope, that God wants us to have this virtue of hope. God wants us to be expecting. God wants us to be hoping in Him for good things. So my life was revolutionized. And it was revolutionized when Jesus touched me as a teenager. And I went from being cautious to daring, to being willing to launch out into the deep for a catch. When Jesus taught about that, when He taught about launching out into the deep for a catch, He was saying, be hopeful that something good is going to happen to you. And that's exactly what hope means. Hope is believing that something good lies in your future, that something good is going to happen to you. And that good could be today's the day, like Mel Fisher said. Not just in the sweet by and by, today's the day. Something good is going to happen. And you got to believe that for your life. You got to be expecting. You got to be a hopeful person. Are you a hopeful person? Are you optimistic or are you pessimistic? You know, in our world today, so many people are pessimistic because their life hasn't gone the way that they hoped it would go, and they've kind of given up on hope, but never give up on hope. Hope is one of the three things, as I told you, that lasts forever. And God wants us to be a people of hope. So I became daring. I launched out into the deep for a catch, and I continue to do that because the deep is where the fish are. And that's when you can catch. That's where the abundance is. But in order to launch out, you got to have hope that something good's going to happen. I became daring, and I began to believe for a bigger ministry, and it's happening. I began to believe for a better prayer life. Every time I go into prayer, I believe that something good's going to happen. I'll encounter the presence of God. When I get into contemplative prayer, that I'm going to meet God in a new, fresh way. Does it always happen? No. But I believe that today is the day. And I live with hope. I live with expectancy. Get your hopes up. Be an expectant person. If you're not hoping for anything, then nothing's probably going to happen. You got to be expecting. And I believe for better relationships and better health. And even when I'm suffering with some things in my health, I'm believing for better things. And wow, has my life changed? Instead of being cautious, I'm daring now. And if you want to be a passionate person, and that's what this program is all about, I try to help you to live with passion. You must be a person of hope, because we have a living hope. In essence, as I said, hope means that you believe that something good is going to happen, that you expect something good to happen in your life, that blessings from God will chase you down the street. This is Deuteronomy 28:2. Blessings will chase you down and overtake you. Not just in the sweet by and by, and oh yes, we have a living hope, but today, as Mel Fisher said, today's the day. Well, I'll tell you, hope is not a fanciful wish of hitting the lottery. And it's not a pipe dream of leaving Las Vegas loaded. Hope is real. It's true. It's alive. We have, as the scripture says, a living hope. And I want to put you in touch with that hope, because some of you haven't been expecting, you haven't been believing, you haven't been optimistic, and nothing's happening. I want there to be blessings and success and breakthrough and new manifestations of God's presence in your life. And in order for that to happen, I really believe that you have to do your part. You must be a person of hope. Are you a hopeful person? Are you expecting good things to come? Do you believe that your marriage will get better? Are you believing for financial blessings? Do you believe that you're going to have a deeper personal relationship with God? I want you to believe that breakthrough is around the corner, that today is the day that good things can happen. I remember my parents, they used to have one of these, back to this treasure theme, because hope really does lead to a treasure. They had one of these treasure finders, and they would comb the beach. They lived in Florida. And it's just a little machine. And what happens is when you go over a coin or a watch or a ring, something metallic, it would make a sound like, and they would stop and they would dig and they'd find the treasure. My parents had a treasure chest full of all kinds of silver that they found, rings, watches, because they were expecting, whenever they would go out, every sweep, they were expecting to find something good. And that's the way we've got to be in life. We've got to be living our life expecting blessings from God, that we are favored children of God, that good things are going to happen to us. Not just kind of cautiously, as I said, cautiously optimistic and just kind of going through life. No, you're a believer. You're a person of hope. We have a living hope. And I found out that hope, besides bringing God's blessings, hope helps us to navigate tricky waters. What do I mean by that? Well, we all go through suffering and trials and difficulties, and we need hope to strengthen us. In the Bible, this is Hebrews chapter 6, and it's verse 19. We are told to seize the hope that lies before us. Kind of like put it in a straitjacket. Put your arms around it. Grab a hold of hope that is an anchor, we are told, for our soul. Oftentimes what would happen is the captain of the ship would go out into the harbor and put down an anchor. And that anchor, when the wind blew and the storm came, that anchor would hold the ship fast. In the same way, hope holds us fast when we're going through hard times, when we're going through difficulties. I just had a man call me yesterday, a friend of mine, a golfing buddy. He said his son of 45 years old, who was a disabled child, died in his sleep a couple days ago. And now his dad was grieving tremendously. And you know, what do you tell somebody who's going through something like that, that just lost their son, or maybe you've lost your daughter or son, and you know how hard that is. And I talked about one of the Bible verses that says, we don't grieve like the rest of the world. No, we have hope. And because of hope, our grief takes on a different tone. In other words, we believe that we're going to see that child again. We believe that we're going to see our parents again. We believe in the great reunion of heaven. And because of that, our grieving is different. We have a living hope. So hope anchors our soul when you're going through grieving. Hope is a strength for us when we're lonely or going through physical sufferings or difficulties. One of the great verses that I love in the Bible, you know, we all have our foundational verses. Here's mine. It's this one right here. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. I'm sure you have. It's Romans 8, 18. Get this. I repeat this to myself over and over and over again when times are hard. The sufferings, this is Romans 8, 18. The sufferings, and don't we all know suffering? I've had eye problems, teeth problems, face problems, knee problems, hip problems, all kinds of relationship problems. Religious life is dying out. The sufferings of the present, we all know what they are. We all have them in a different flavor. The sufferings of the present aren't worth comparing with the glory that's going to be revealed. Did you get that? I say that all the time. Whenever I'm going through sufferings and it's hard and I feel like, oh, this is overwhelming, I keep saying Romans 8, 18, the sufferings of the present aren't worth comparing with the glory that's going to be revealed. What do we mean by that? Get a scale. The sufferings of the present, oh, you know, it tilts the scale way down this way. Physical sufferings, relationship problems, addictions, financial problems, all this stuff aren't worth comparing with the glory that's going to be revealed to us. See, the glory, the hope that we have in heaven, the reunion, the exaltation, knowing God in a personal way, heaven forever, is going to far outweigh anything and everything that we're going through right now, so that we won't get discouraged or depressed or down or pessimistic or like the rest of the world. Viktor Frankl, a Jewish psychiatrist, he was in a Nazi concentration camp in Auschwitz in the Second World War. Maybe you've read his book. I have. It's one of the most influential books I ever read in my life. It's called Man's Search for Meaning. If you ever want to get a good book, Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. And he talked about how in prison, and he saw the most deplorable situations, people being killed, people being starved. It was absolutely horrendous. But he said what kept him going was the vision of his wife and the hope that one day they were going to have a reunion, that he would get out of that camp, he would have a reunion with his wife, they would be together again. And he said that hope kept him going in the midst of all that trouble. See, that's the role of hope. It keeps you going forward, keeps you strong, keeps you firm. When you feel like giving up, hope lifts you up. So the sufferings of the present aren't worth comparing with the glory that we're going to have one day. Meditate on that. Hasn't God ever given you a vision of glory? Don't you ever have an inkling about what heaven's going to be like? Well, I have. I've been to the mountaintop. I've seen the glory. I've seen what's coming. God gave me that vision, and oh, the glory will far outweigh anything and everything that we're going through, including death itself and the threat of death. And that's exactly what biblical hope is. The Bible ends with the book of Revelation in this glorious scene of this new city where God will be the light, where there will be this crystal clear water flowing from his throne, where there will be these trees on either side of the river for the healing of the nations. There will be no more death, no more tears, no more sadness, and everything and anything that we ever wanted to have will be there. Woo, I feel the glory as I'm speaking. I have a theme song for my life too. I have a theme verse that you just heard it. That's Romans 8:18. But I also have a theme song. I've shared this in other programs. It comes from a movie called The Poseidon Adventure. And if you saw the movie The Poseidon Adventure, here's this ship out in the ocean and this big tidal wave hits it, flips upside down, you know, and all the people, all of a sudden, the ship got flipped and they're trying to find their way to safety and they had to go up, which is actually down because the top of the ship was up. So they would go to one door and they open it up and all this water comes. They'd have to shut that door, and they'd go to another door and open up. All this fire comes. They'd have to shut that door. And isn't that life? It's full of smoke and fire and water and floods and all these different natural disasters that comes. And, you know, sometimes your ship flips. Well, they eventually did make it to the top of the ship, which was the bottom of the ship, and they cut through it. A helicopter came and cut through it, and they were saved. The Poseidon Adventure, they did a remake of that movie. But all throughout that movie, there was this theme song called There's Got to Be a Morning After by Maureen McGovern. Just a couple of verses, just one verse. There's got to be a morning after if we can hold on through the night. We have a chance to find the sunshine. Let's keep looking for the light. I love that. In the midst of your hardest situation, don't give up. Hold on. Be strong. Be expecting. Good things are in your future. You may be going through some things right now, but this too shall pass. There are good things on the horizon. We have a whole season in the liturgical year in the Catholic Church, a whole season called Advent, which proclaims hope. We prepare for Christmas, but we also prepare for the second coming of Jesus Christ, when all the wrongs will be made right, when finally there will be justice, when peace will flow like a river. And the church prepares in hope, and we wait expectantly. The great symbol of Advent is a pregnant woman, Mary, pregnant with her baby. And we call a woman who is pregnant somebody who's expecting, because they're waiting for their baby to be born. And so really, in a nutshell, that is what hope is. Hope is expecting something good to happen to you, believing for a future full of grace and blessings and abundance. And so that's the way I want you to live. I want you to live kind of like Mel Fisher. Today's the day. Something good's going to happen to me. Blessings are on the way. I have the favor of God. And even though you're seeing suffering, I want you to believe, to have hope, to believe for good things. I want you to be expecting, because if you live cautiously optimistic, then not much is going to happen in your life. But if you live a daring life, an expectant life, a passionate life, I believe that you're going to see untold blessings and abundance come your way. And a whole new world has opened up for me because Jesus touched me. Now I am willing to launch out into the deep for a catch. I have become very bold and very courageous in a way that I never used to be because I've seen, as Ephesians 3 says, God is able, underline that, God is able to do far more than we can ever dare to ask, think, or imagine. Oh, I love that. See, sometimes what we do is we limit God by our pessimism. And what we need to do is to be a hopeful person, daring and expectant. And the power of God, His ability will flow in us and through us, and great things will happen. I'm always believing for good things. Today is the day. I'm believing for my ministry to continue to grow, to have greater health, to have better relationships, a deeper prayer life, a more powerful ministry, for good things to happen. I'm expect a miracle. That's one of the signs I saw one time. It was on a secretary's office when I was just beginning in TV, and it struck me so deeply that I needed to be expecting a miracle in my life. Today's the day. Don't you grow despondent. I don't know if you ever heard about the story of WestJet Airlines. A couple years ago around Christmas time, again, Christmas time, the season of hope and expectation. Well, a couple years ago around Christmas time, they had this great promotion. And what they did is this: as people were boarding the plane, there was a virtual Santa there. And the Santa was able to talk to the people through the screen. And what the Santa asked was, what would you like for Christmas? Some people would say, I want a big screen TV, and other people would say, I want a camera, or I want a tablet, or I want, you know, some washer and a dryer, some good things. And then one man was very skeptical, he was very pessimistic. When Santa said, what do you want? He says, I just want some socks and underwear. Well, little did they know, when they got on the airplane and they flew to their destination, all the elves got busy. The elves being the employees of WestJet, they heard the request, and they bought exactly what the people were asking for, exactly what they were expecting. When they landed, coming down the conveyor belt of the baggage wasn't their bags. It was all these gifts with their name on it. And one little boy goes over and he opens it up, and there's a camera, and he's burst into, you know, all laughing and happy. Another person sees their name on it, and they open it up, and there's a tablet. Another person got a big screen TV. Then that guy who wasn't expecting anything, he got socks and underwear. He got exactly what he was expecting. And it's the same in our life too. Expect great things and you're going to receive great things. Expect little things and you're not going to get much. Be cautiously optimistic and, well, maybe it's a way to live. But your life's not going to go anywhere. Biblical hope says that we have a living hope. A living hope. You know, some people are pessimistic and some people are optimistic. And I don't know exactly why that is, but it seems to be that way. And I heard this story about this young man. Actually, they were twins. They were both about 6 years old, and their parents couldn't figure it out. One of the young men was pessimistic, and his twin was optimistic. And they said, you know, we don't understand why this. They took him to a psychologist. So the psychologist takes the pessimistic young man, brings him into a room full of toys, and he says, go ahead and play, have fun, have a great time. And the little boy started to cry. The pessimistic young man started to cry. He goes, why are you crying? He goes, because I'm going to break one of the toys. He goes into the other room where the optimistic young man was, and he takes him out back. And out back, there's a shed full of horse manure. And he takes this optimistic young man and he brings him out there, and there's all this manure, and he gives him a shovel. The young kid, he's smiling, he's laughing, and he starts digging through the manure. And he's laughing and everything. And the psychologist says to him, he goes, why are you laughing? Why are you having such a good time? And he goes, you can't fool me. Where there's this much manure, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. So what I'm simply saying is this: you have a choice in life. You can be optimistic or pessimistic. Is the glass half full, half empty? There's a silver lining in every cloud. And even in the manure, and even in the stinky stuff, even in the sufferings, God has a way of bringing out a pony. I looked online now and they're selling ponies because of this story, because people want to have the pony because it's a sign of optimism. And the bottom line is that we don't have a fanciful wish, and we don't have a maybe, and we don't have a I think so. We have a living hope of a glorious future. But not only that, hope is an anchor for our soul. It holds us like the ship being tossed by the storm. It holds us fast when you're grieving, when you're lonely, when you're doubting, when you're fearful. Hope will strengthen you. Hope will raise you up. Hope will bring blessings into your life. So what I want to share with you is get your hopes up. Believe. Expect. Today's the day. I believe that good things are going to happen to you. I believe that because you heard this message, blessings are going to come to you. And I believe that you're not going to be a cautiously optimistic person anymore. You're going to be daring, bold, courageous, and you're not going to just live, but you're going to live with passion. Tony Gwynn was an exceptional hitter, prolific, won many batting titles as a member of the San Diego Padres. Somebody went up to him one time and said, "What's the secret of your success?" And Tony Gwynn, the prolific hitter, said, "Every time I come to the plate, I expect to get a hit." What are you expecting in your life? I believe if you live with hope and expect great things will happen to you. That's what I'm hoping for with this TV program. And good things are happening. Great things are happening. I just got this letter from a woman. She said she was flipping through the channels. She felt lost. And I was praying a prayer of surrender to Jesus. She said, "Something got me out of my seat. Some force pulled me up. I prayed everything that you prayed, and life hasn't been the same since." She said, "You have filled me with hope." That's exactly what my programs are about: touching lives, saving souls. My resources will help you to be filled with hope and bring you into a deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I wrote a book years ago called Live Passionately. That's the name of this series. And it will help you to abound with hope. In fact, if you buy all my resources, they're half price. And the reason why I can give them to you at that price is because I want you to have these resources so you will be filled with hope and expecting blessings. Touching lives, saving souls. Stay tuned and live with passion. This is Father Cedric Bezania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live with passion.